Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello and welcome to episode 111, that's 111, of the Teaching Space podcast. It's Martine here. Thank you so much for joining me. This is the second of a two-part series of episodes focused on how I'm approaching master's degree study on a part-time basis. The master's degree that I'm studying for is in education with a focus on leadership and management, and I'm doing that part-time with the Open University. The OU state that a degree of this nature takes approximately 16 hours a week. From my experience, sometimes it's a lot more, sometimes it's a lot less, so it's not a bad estimate. Episode 110, the last one, was all about planning and how I plan my approach to study. This one, 111, is a toolkit episode, how we love a tech toolkit. Yes, I'm going to be sharing apps today. I'm going to let you know what my year one toolkit looked like, how I approached my study from a tech perspective, and then I'm going to go on to explain what year two's toolkit looks like, because there have been some significant changes, and I think these will be quite interesting to you if you're a productivity app geek like I am. Are you ready to get a little bit geeky and talk tools? I'll take that as a yes. Let's crack on. Okay, let me tell you about my year one toolkit, bearing in mind that I'm in year two now. To access the course textbook, I used an app called Bookshelf by Vital Source, and I had that app on my iPad and I had it as well on my desktop. I never printed anything out from that app. All I did was print certain chapters or sections to PDF, and then I imported them into a different app to annotate them. So I never printed anything out. I always read the textbook on my iPad or on desktop, depending on where I was studying at the time. So that's how I accessed the reader. Incidentally, the app is free, so that's Bookshelf by Vital Source, and I'll make sure there's a link in the show notes to any apps that I mention. And you can purchase the textbook via Amazon or other places in hard copy, but I only ever used the online version, and that was included as part of my course, so I didn't have to pay for that textbook. Through the Open University Library, I had access to lots and lots of journal articles, and these were usually presented in PDF format. That meant I needed a tool for PDF reading and annotation. I did this on my iPad and on my desktop, which is a Mac, using the app GoodNotes, which I found worked really well. GoodNotes is a notepad app that happens to allow PDF importing and annotating. And as a side note, I tend to use it for knitting patterns and crochet patterns because I have to cross off when I've knitted a particular row or crocheted a particular row. I had some experience with GoodNotes, so I carried on using it for studying and reading and annotating journal articles in PDF format. This worked well for me in year one. I mentioned in the last episode that it was important to keep a reflective learning journal and a PDP, professional development plan, and this was done in Microsoft OneNote for year one. I am not a Microsoft girl. I have to be really super clear there. I'm a Google girl when it comes to word processing and spreadsheets and things like that. As a Google certified trainer, it's my comfortable place, and that's what I like to use. For the record though, I started my teaching career teaching office administration, and part of that was to teach the Microsoft Office suite, so I'm quite experienced using it and I'm not anti-Microsoft, it's just about familiarity really. When I started year one, I tried keeping my reflective learning journal in lots of different places. If I remember correctly, I started a blog initially, because with the Open University, you have access to a blog for exactly this purpose. I did a bit in Notion. I did a bit in Ulysses, I think I tried at any rate, and none of them really fit me. Microsoft OneNote is the tool that the Open University recommends for keeping notes and keeping a reflective learning journal. So I thought, well, I'll go ahead and give it a try. I have to say, as a tool for keeping notes, sort of study notes and reflections and things, OneNote is absolutely great. I was pleasantly surprised. As an added bonus, the OU provided some templates to help you sort of navigate and use OneNote effectively. So that was really useful. For bibliography and citations, I used Cite This For Me, which I was very happy with. I actually had a paid subscription to Cite This For Me for the first year of my master's, and I used that to good effect. For planning my study, you'll be aware of this if you've listened to episode 110, I used Google Calendar, and I have that on my phone and on my desktop, and it was just the best possible planning tool for me at that time. Finally, for assignment writing, I reluctantly used Microsoft Word because that was what the expectation was. I didn't use the inbuilt bibliography and citation tools. I stored everything in Cite This For Me and then copied and pasted in. I'll be honest, it took me a little bit of time to get back into using Microsoft Word, but for the purposes of assignment writing, it was absolutely fine. I didn't have a problem with it at all. Everything looked okay and my tutors were happy. It's time for a quick ad break. I'm a huge fan of audiobooks from Audible, and I want to share the love. Grab yourself a 30-day Audible trial and free audiobook at theteachingspace.com/audible. Now let's talk about my Year 2 toolkit. Some things have stayed the same, some things are different. Let's start with what has remained the same. Clearly, I've not changed the way I access the textbook. We've got another reader for this year, and it still needs to be accessed via Bookshelf by VitalSource. And it's fine as an app. You can actually annotate the reader within the VitalSource app, but I still like to strip out various chapters and put them somewhere else so I can have all of my annotated PDFs in the same place. I didn't like having them separate. That didn't work for me. For my bibliography type stuff, I have stuck with Cite This For Me, although I might explore a few other options, and there is a good reason for that. Last year, I had the paid option of Cite This For Me, which off the top of my head was about £6 or £7 a month, which is fine. With tools of that nature, I do like to pay for tools when I use them a great deal. I like to support the developers as best I can. However, using Cite This For Me and paying for it didn't really afford me much benefit. It gets rid of the adverts and it means you can save bibliographies. But for me, I'm saving my bibliographies elsewhere. I'm creating an annotated bibliography, so therefore it wasn't a great benefit for me, so I'm not paying for it anymore. The ads are distracting, so there is a chance that I will be exploring other tools. If you have a preferred bibliography citation tool that you want to recommend to me, I'd love to hear from you. From my point of view, I do like to keep it simple. I want to copy and paste information in, and I need it to do the formatting for me. I'm not worried about being able to save different bibliographies. That doesn't help me in particular. I'd love to hear from you if you've got some recommendations. Let me know in the Teaching Space community, community.theteachingspace.com. Thank you. Finally, I am approaching my planning in the same way, using Google Calendar, and assignments still need to be written in Microsoft Word. What is different then, I hear you ask? I have made a couple of significant changes. I'm now reading and annotating PDFs in a tool called iAnnotate. It's not a free tool. I can't remember what the cost was, but it felt very reasonable. It's not a monthly subscription, and it's for Apple devices only. I'll tell you a bit more about iAnnotate in a minute and why I rather like it. For my notes, my reflective learning journal, and my PDP, I am using Notion, which is rather exciting. As you might well be aware, I've been dabbling in Notion for quite a few years. I've gone all in on Notion for academics, more on that later. Finally, I've made a hardware upgrade. I purchased a better keyboard for my iPad Pro. I am using the Apple Magic Keyboard. Now I'm going to dig into the reason for these changes, starting with Notion. One of the big reasons I moved over to Notion for my notes in relation to my master's and a lot of other things actually was having been inspired by Monica and Rusty from Notion for Academics, and I'll pop a link to their website in the show notes for you. I think I first saw Monica and Rusty talking about how people working in academia could use Notion on a Notion crowdcast. that's probably where I saw them first. And they really got me thinking about how I could better use Notion for my study. In particular, the way I handled my academic reading and my associated notes and tasks. I purchased one of their templates, tweaked it to meet my own needs, and now I have, amongst several key databases, two in particular that are important for my study, and that is a reading database and a notes database, and they are linked and filtered very carefully, and they kind of culminate in an academic dashboard. In the show notes for this episode, which you'll find at theteachingspace.com/111, I will include some screenshots and GIFs just demonstrating my academic dashboard, my reading database, and my notes database. And pay attention to how they're filtered and the fields that they have available in them. For example, the reading database has areas for abstracts, citations, author name. Those are by tag, so it's easy to filter by author. The original PDF, the annotated PDF, and much, much more. Each item in the reading database can be linked up to a note. It can also be linked up to a task if I want it to be. Everything just kind of talks to each other. As well as adding GIFs and screenshots in the show notes, I'll include my Notion setup tour video too. I expect I'll be doing another one of those in the not too distant future because my setup seems to change on a regular basis. Moving on now to iAnnotate. That is the PDF annotation tool that I'm using now. The reason I switched from GoodNotes was that primarily GoodNotes is like a notebook tool for your iPad or your mobile device, and I simply didn't use it as a notepad. I didn't find it very easy to type notes in, even using my new keyboard. I didn't find the way it interacted with Apple Pencil to be particularly pleasing. I've certainly had better Apple Pencil type experiences. It really struck me that I needed a better functioning PDF annotation tool. I did my research. I realized that I didn't really want to pay for a subscription. A lot of these things do appear to be subscription based, but I was happy to pay a small fee in order to purchase a really good app. In the end, I decided on iAnnotate. It is very much optimized for iPad. I don't think there's a desktop version of it, and I certainly can't use it at work, but I do all of my PDF reading on my iPad, so it suits me just fine. As I mentioned earlier, I tend to save a copy of the PDF without my annotations and a copy with my annotations, and then I upload those to my Notion database. iAnnotate does this brilliantly, and it also allows you to save those PDFs in a variety of places. You can share them, or rather save them, in a Dropbox, in Google Drive, or straight on your desktop via iCloud, which is what I do. As far as purchasing the new Magic Keyboard for my iPad Pro goes, this was quite a big decision for me because it's not a cheap bit of kit. It is pretty expensive. It was quite an investment. But there was a good reason for it, and that was I do find it easier to work off my iPad than I do off a small laptop. And this year, I think I'm going to be snatching study time when I can. So for example, I might do a little bit of study in my lunch hour, I might get half an hour in the morning, I might do a little bit in the evening, rather than having long stretches of study time. And as such, optimizing my iPad for this purpose, also given my previous comments about how I tend to read and use iAnnotate, this felt like an important thing to do. And so far, so good with the new Apple keyboard. It's working really well for me. I should add as well that I've really put this keyboard through its paces. I managed to get it squashed between the top of my bed and the base of my bed quite recently. I have one of those beds where you can store stuff in the base of the bed. And I managed to get the keyboard caught there. So it's had quite a battering and it's lived to tell the tale. So I'm pretty pleased with that keyboard. I think I mentioned earlier my main reason for not subscribing to Cite This For Me anymore, and that is because I am saving all of my bibliography information, my citations and that sort of thing, in Notion. And these items of information are so easy to access in Notion that I just felt I didn't really need to have them saved anywhere else. So going all in on Notion has saved me a bit of money, which is nice to know. And that's it. That is your toolkit episode. I hope you found that interesting. I know lots of listeners to the podcast love a toolkit episode. I would really welcome the opportunity to talk tools with you in the Teaching Space community, which you can find at community.theteachingspace.com. I'll set up a thread, or rather an article, for this podcast episode in the community. It will have all the show notes on it, and also it will have the podcast player, so you can actually listen when you're in the community if you want to. So I'll get all of that set up. And if you've got any questions, or you want to enter into some toolkit-related discussion, for example, you might want to recommend some bibliography tools to me or to anybody else, I would love it if we did that inside the Teaching Space community. So please hop in. I will see you in there, and let's talk more. That's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you'll join me next time. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.